us, y'all. Come on. You preachers, stop preaching what you teach. Teach the truth. Wake up, preachers.
Hello. They running late.
Ah, it don't matter.
Yeah. Transportation.
What race? Creed or color? Everybody, we need each other.
Okay.
Wake up, everybody.
Thanks.
Well,
okay. Yeah,
see,
the girls on time. Mother,
we need. Wake up, everybody.
Come on,
no more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking.
Okay. Thank you.
Wake up, all your teachers. Start to teach a new way. They're the ones that suffer each and every day. Teach the children.
Teach the
baby. Teach the children.
Hey, they're the ones who's coming up. Wake up, everybody. I really missed you guys. I am just so happy you tuned in today. Welcome, welcome, listeners all around this beautiful world. And like I said, I am so happy and glad you chose to tune in to bring back the family, focusing on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Let that just sink in and just keep that in mind. So first we want to acknowledge God with the word of scripture and prayer. And I will be reading for your hearing Romans 12:1-13. That is Romans 12:1-13. You know, that's my favorite scripture, okay? And this is my favorite song because it just says so much. It really does. It just kind of put us in the mood and want us to get busy, okay? And it says, a living sacrifice to God. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Do not think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. Measure yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously, and if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. I like that word, enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers and hearers of his great and mighty word. God is good. Okay, let us pray. Lord God, we enter your presence with hearts of thanksgiving for who you are and all you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for life, love, fellowship, and friendship. Thank you for this avenue of Blog Talk Radio and Bring Back the Family. God, we pray that you will use us in this venue to help us learn how we really can bring back the family in the manner that you meant for families to operate. Lord God, please let Bring Back the Family provide a way to help your children do what it is for that you have for them to do. Lord, bless the parents to give the youth what is needed to make it in this world. And Lord, we know that the thing we need the most is more of you. Father God, we have ordained that Bring Back the Family concentrates on the youth. If your word says that when children are brought up knowing your ways, then they are older. When they are older, they will not depart from you. Then the opposite is truly sure. Is truly sure. So we start this discussion sober-minded that if young people are not raised knowing you, not rooted in you, and not guided in your righteousness, you will be victims on for not helping. Okay? And so we ask your blessings this afternoon on all who will speak to them and that are listening. Let your glory come forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is my favorite song. No more backwards thinking. Times of thinking ahead. No, we got to go forward. These kids are just moving right along. And we got to catch up with them and try to lead them and guide them in the correct way that they should go. We just got to get on the bandwagon with them and so that we could kind of guide them, you know, because it's like kids going wild, okay? No more backwards thinking times or thinking ahead. And the song, it encourages all people to do better because they can do better when they are faced with a better tomorrow. Block by block, rebuilding. You know, our youth and communities need a rebuilding. They need a do-over, a bogey, a new start. And Bring Back the Family is focused on the youth and is designed to bring about awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to make it in this world and be good, productive citizens, able to contribute positively. You know, they need their chance too. They need their chance to be able to make it in this world. Like I said, somebody provided for us, and we need to provide for them. It's just a total sacrifice, the time that you put in, you know, just the valuable quality time that you put in. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, I'm kind of tired and just worn out with hearing about our teenagers and, you know, just committing, you know, all these heinous crimes against people, you know, just cold and without any care, you know, bad attitudes, you know, and you just wonder, where did this come from? You know, who are their teachers? Who are their teachers? Where did all this come from? Okay? So I just want to talk about what I just took a little break last week, and it was a well-rested break. Sometimes we need, you know, a mental break away from, you know, I missed you guys, though. Just needed a mental break and just needed to refocus and just get some new fresh ideals and just start, you know, and to work on, you know, what we have planned going forward. And so I just want to talk about what we're going to do over the summer and how we could keep our youth busy, how we keep them motivated, encouraged, and excited about life, and most of all, safe. How are we going to keep our kids safe? Okay? So Bring Back the Family talks about block by block, being productive, being a helper, being a motivator, an encourager, and a protector in your block. So how do we do that as far as, you know, being encouraging and being a motivator in our block, the block we live in, the block you live in, the block I live in, okay? We all can do something, okay? Okay. So I think that, you know, just let's get busy. You know, we've been talking and having this conversation since last year. In June, it'll be a whole year. And so what have you gathered or learned, or what's your feelings on what we have done so far, and what ideals have come to you that's going to make you and motivate you to get out on your block and do what you can do for the youth? And, you know, because we're all in this thing together. We all hear the same reports on TV. We hear what's going on. You know, we know people that a lot of these things have happened to. And like the slogan says, if we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. And we are seeing that right now today. Okay? But it's not too late. We could still help them. We could still help. What else do we have to do? We have to help them. We have to. Somebody helped us. Okay? So what are we going to make up in our minds to do to make it better? Okay? What can you do? What can you do in your block if you are willing and you want to see better days and better times for our youth while we are still here? You know, we want to leave this place better than we got it. Okay? So what are we willing to do, okay, to make their time better, to make it good, you know, before we leave here? We want to be able to see something that we've done to make this world a better place, to make it better for our youth, to make it better for the next generation that we're going to leave behind. Okay? What contributions can we give? When we contribute, you know, and make ourselves available to others and to the youth, you know, guess what that's doing? It's teaching. Teaching them. If they see us giving, you know, if they see us helping, if they see us being kind, you know, and they could feel the love that we give them, then that's going to, you know, it's going to rub off. Because that's how we learned. Our parents loved. Our parents sacrifice. They put that quality time in. So if we don't do the same thing, we are going to, you know, see more of the trouble that we're seeing. Okay? They're watching us. They're watching how we act. They're watching how we perform. And this is how they learn all the good, the bad habits and deeds. This is how they learn. They learn by watching us. Okay? And so let's just talk about what we're going to do, you know, this summer. I want y'all to talk back to me. You know, open your mics and y'all can talk back. And just what ideas do you have that will help, you know, our youth get to the next level of life, the next level of learning, you know, okay? I know the other day a little girl, the little kids across the street, they don't come out much, but it's getting warmer now, and they're out, and they came running across the street, and they said, hey, what are we going to do? You know, our block need cleaning up. Can we clean? Can we clean again? I want to clean, you know. And I was like, wow, that is so cool, you know. And that just really warmed my heart, because just getting them out there to clean up their block in their little community, their neighborhood, and on their street, you know. Now they see the beauty. Now they want it clean, you know. Just one good cleanup that we had that they all participated in, and they remembered that, okay? They remember what they did to help because they want to help, okay? See what impact that made, you know, on them? Just a little care and a little concern. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so that really motivated me to really just, okay, that made me happy, and it just really motivated and encouraged me to just keep on going because they want it. They need it, you know. It's for them. It's their time. It's not our time. It's their time. We had our time. That's the way I feel. I feel like I've had my time. So it's time to reach back, pull them little ones up, and give them what they need to make it. Mm. Yeah. So what can we do this summer to help our kids to get what it is that they need for the summer so that they could, you know, be safe? So we got to find a way to keep them busy. We have to find a way to keep them busy. And busy means just on your street. Get them some books. You know, get them some books, some activities. Encourage them to read. Give them some incentives to read. You know, how about blocking your street off with the cars and just getting some chairs, some food, pizza. Kids love pizza. And just have some conversation with them about reading, about just life activities, you know. Just talk to them about some of the things that they need to know, life skills. You know, get down on their level, you know, and talk to them about being good citizens and helping people and helping others, you know, picking up the paper on your street. If you see some paper, don't walk over it, you know. Teach them about having a good name. It's just taking time out, you know, having a good name. Getting on their level, to the little ones, just, you know, telling them about their name and what it means to them and how important it is to protect it. Mm-hmm. Because later on they might need a reference. And if you could explain that to them in kid form, you know, what a good reference is, you know, because they'll need that later, so that they need to keep their name good. Okay. Like I said, get some chairs and block the street off. Get some chairs, and kids love pizza. Get something to drink and just food, and just talk with the youth about life, life events, life skills, you know, danger, behavior. You know, give them some activity. Just taking some time out. Talking about love is, what respect is, what support is, what friendship is, what's honor, being honorable, what's teamwork. Just these little action words, you know. Put them to work. Find ways to keep them busy, okay? And so when we involve ourselves like that, that's teaching them. They're learning how to give and learning how to, we're teaching them how to teach. They're learning, okay, because we're the ones they're watching. Whatever we do, they're gonna do. I remember we talked on a show one day, and we talked about, you know, exposing the youth to different things. Taking them places that, you know, that cost them little or no money, family trips, exposing them to, you know, out-of-town car trips, the airplane rides, the bus trips, take them on the train ride, exposing them to the theater, the opera house. These are things inside the city, taking them to maybe a museum. We have a museum downtown. We have a museum in Toledo, Chicago, exposing them to football games and basketball games and hockey games, taking them to, you know, some of the local colleges, talking about college and furthering their education, just putting these things in their minds. So give them something to think about, you know, because if we put that time in, they'll appreciate it. Just like the little girl came over and said, we want to clean up again. They'll talk about everything that you do for them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, take them on a, you know, they used to have the college tours, plan some of those events. We got all these vacant lots out here. Keep them clean. Help, let the kids help you keep them clean. Get some volleyball nets out there, some soccer goalies out there for them to play with in those fields, with some activities. Get a movie screen and let them watch some movies in the field, you know, and just books, more books, and just give them, like I said, incentives to read. Because these are things that's going to help them. These are things that's going to help them now, and it's going to help them later. Okay? Like I said, the theaters, the movies, so many things that they can do out there to keep themselves busy, and it'll keep them from being in trouble. You know, teach them about the law, you know, in their little way that they can understand it. And keeping themselves clean and just all the basic necessities that they need to know. Some kids don't get it, but if they do or if they don't, it's okay to keep telling them over and over again. We think that they're not listening, but they are, okay? You know, maybe start them a business. Show them about business. Let them open up a lemonade stand. Let them do some work, some yard work for you, you know. Open up a candy stand. So many things that they could do. What did our parents do for us? What did they do to keep us busy? I know we had to clean the house. Mm-hmm. We had to learn how to clean. So we had to wash walls and clean the bathroom and wash the dishes, iron clothes, you know. It's okay. We could bring all that stuff outside and teach them how to do it. We could even bring the ironing board outside and teach them how to iron. Mm-hmm. Did I say ping pong? Get some ping pong tables outside and let them play ping pong. Get a pool table. Bring it outside. Let them play pool. These are all the things that we had, you know. Do some family things together. Bring those parents out and let them help. A young lady down the street, she invited all the kids on Easter to her home, and she has, I think, like two lots or something that she and her husband bought, and they had an Easter egg hunt. And so she said, bring all the kids down. So I went and told all the kids, y'all be down there at 4 o'clock or whatever time, you know, she told me to bring them. They were all down there. And so they came out with all kind of money. They had $30, $40, $50. They put money in those eggs. They ain't put all candy in them. It was money in them. And those kids, little kids, came out with not no little money. All of them had lots of money. I thought that was just so cool. Yeah, so they'll remember that. They will remember that this lady and her husband took the time out to invite all the kids on the block to their block and gave them a Easter egg hunt. Profitable. Boy, I thought that was just so cool. So we need people like that, you know. It don't cost us nothing, just the time we put in. You know, whatever we have, God gave it to us. And once you give, he'll give you more. He'll give you more. The more you give, the more he'll give. Mm-hmm. It's all his and it all belongs to him. So it's just an investment. That's all it is. It's an investment. And it's a good investment because these kids, they're coming up. They're not staying babies. They are coming up. It's their time. It is their time. So, okay, that was it. I'm going to open up you guys' mics. If you want to say something, have a word to say, ideals, what you guys may be thinking about, planning on doing on your block, you know, just give. Just put in your mind that we're going to do this. We're going to do something special on our block. We're going to give back. We're going to show love. We're going to give love. Because these kids need to know how to love right now. Because somebody's not showing them. Somebody's not showing them how to love. Press 1 if you want to have a word to say, if you have some good ideals, if you have some resources, information, business you want to promote, what we're going to do for our kids this summer. Next week we're going to talk about mothers raising successful sons single-handedly and finance and some of the things that we need to do and talk about as families is getting your affairs in order. Things that we don't really talk about that we don't want to talk about, getting your affairs in order so that you don't have any confusion and when the time comes, okay? So if you want to say something, then just press 1, and we will open up your mics. Hey, let's get motivated about these kids. I know that you guys are hearing the same things that I'm hearing on the news, and these are young kids. These are young babies, 15, 14, 15, 16, just destroying their lives, like, right away, you know, destroying their lives. It's like it's over, you know, at that young of an age. Look at the trauma that's gonna affect them later on for what they've done, for things that they're doing, okay? And it's just causing pain. It's causing pain in families. So I'm just like, wow, the things I'm seeing and hearing, it's really heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. I mean, couldn't you just imagine if that was us? Or if that happened to us and no one cared about us, no one took the time out for us, where would we be? Mm-hmm. Look how far we've made it. So we have to give back. We have to put our heads together, our love and our thoughts and everything that we have, and go full force in helping where we can help. Okay? So I'm working on just the programs to just basic life skills that they need, just what I was talking about keeping yourself safe, about keeping a good name, telling them about the law. All of that, and have people partnering with us to do these things. We're gonna announce our first annual kickoff for Bring Back the Family, which is gonna be a bike ride, a family bike ride. A location to be announced, but I did want to kind of put it out there. I'm going to do a bike ride. Anybody that want to donate a new bike to a youth or a family, feel free. Go to our website, bringbackthefamilybbtfus.com, or you can email me at clyburncathy61@gmail.com. That's Clyburn, C-L-Y-B-U-R-N, Kathy, C-A-T-H-Y, 61, at gmail.com. And we are going to, you know, ask people to donate a bike. And we're going to kick off our first annual bike ride to kick off Bring Back the Family and what it's all about. We're going to have food, vendors and speakers and, you know, resources, giveaways. And if you know anybody that's interested in partnering and sponsoring, like I said, just email me or message to the website. Okay? And that's bbtfus.com or clyburncathy61@gmail.com. And we'll have more information about that coming up. Okay? So those are some of the things that we're going to be doing. I got kids right now. They ready for their bikes. I'm going to get them some bikes, and my family going to help. We're going to get them bikes on our block. Anybody that don't have a bike, we're going to get them a bike. And so you'll hear more about that. What else is it? So if you want to have a word to say, anybody have any good ideas that they want to share with us that, you know, let me burn it on your mind, talk to me. It's quiet out there. I'm lonely. Okay. So that's what Bring Back the Family is plan, and that's one thing that they're planning, and it's going to be so many other things. I think we kind of, you know, this pandemic is kind of fading out a little bit. We're going to still be careful and just, you know, depend on God to get us through like he always has. And that's it. Yeah, because we have to keep going. Yeah, we have to keep going because we're behind. We're behind in so many ways, and it's time for us to catch up, okay? So anybody got anything exciting to say, any information? And, yeah, like I was saying, we're going to be doing some activities. I got a field, a lot that my family has purchased, and we keep it clean, and we're going to be doing volleyball over there. We're going to be doing soccer. We're going to be doing some movies. We got some ping pong tables and books, okay? We're going to give them some incentives to read. I got a good block. Kids are ready and they're hungry for whatever. You know, they're always knocking on the door, ready to do some work, ready to make them some money, okay? And that's all it is. It's paper. It's paper that we call money. Okay? Share it. And share it. We can't take it all with us. Yeah. So share it. So I'm looking forward to all of these activities and just, you know, seeing the smile on the kids' faces. And so this is a way to, you know, that we could give them some attention and keep them safe at the same time. Because, you know, we don't want nobody to come knocking at our door telling us something, you know, tragic. So we're going to do what we could do to make it right. That's it. And we're just going to ask God for the blessings to do all of those things. Okay. Life events, skills, danger, behavior. Yep. So some of those topics that you could talk to the kids about. This is just a matter of just taking some time out. Talk to them about God. You give them some Bibles. You could give them some workbooks. You know, workbooks on learning about the Bible. You can give them some workbooks on their education and just give them some incentives. These are all our kids. Whether our kids are grown and gone or not, these are all our kids. Yes, they are. I got one niece graduating May 7th from Michigan State University. Actually, they're up there today, and they're having like a separate kind of graduation for the ones that was affected during the pandemic. So they're having a ceremony today for the Black Student Union up there. And so they're going to have two graduations. So we're proud of her. And, you know, I just want to say that it's just a sacrifice. And I look at my nieces and nephews, and I look at what they're doing. And nobody gets where they are by themselves. They didn't just come out the womb and decide to go to college. They didn't just come out the womb and decide to be good citizens. They had to be taught. And a lot of time went in. A lot of time was spent teaching these kids about what they need to do to get, you know, to the next level of life. And it's just been a blessing. It's been a blessing to just sit back and just watch them do their thing, because time went in, quality time went in, all the support, just being there for them, supporting them in everything that they did, everything, always there. Something was going on, we get the message that it was going on, and we show up. We show up, and your kids want to see you at their different activities. They do. They want you to support them. They even want whoopings. You know, they want whoopings. They do. But these states and governments got our hands so tied, and they're running our lives and our families from their office. That's why we have to take the time out with our kids. Put that quality time in so they know that they have to respect us. Mm-hmm. And listen to us, and don't listen to all those outside influences, you know, the ones that don't really love you. I have to tell them all the time, those people don't love you. Your family loves you, okay? And so if they're helping you and trying to give you some good advice, and taking time out, spending time out with you to take you here and there and make sure you're making all your activities and things like that, you got something going on. You got something going there. Appreciate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just wanted to say that because that's what it takes. And when you put them out there right, you don't have to worry about them. You don't have to worry about them when you put them out there right. And That's a very good feeling. Even though I didn't have kids, you know, biologically I didn't have children, but it was important for me to help with my nieces and nephews, with my siblings' kids. It was important. That was important to me to make sure that they had what they need to make it, whatever it took, whatever I had to give up, didn't matter. And so now I don't have to be worried about, you know, them knocking on my door, because they're not going to go to their parents. They're going to come to auntie. They're going to come to the uncle. They're going to come to somebody other than their parents. So you have to help. I ain't want them come knocking on my door being a burden on me. So you have to sacrifice. Yeah. So that's good. Feel good about that. Okay. All right. So, someone want to press 1 and have a word to say? Just keep tuning in. Eventually, we're going to be out here just doing the thing. We're going to be in the trenches. I just hope the Lord give me the energy and let me keep the energy that I have to be able to get some things done, you know. Yeah. It takes a lot. Mm-hmm. Like I thought that I was going to be able to just, you know, relax and go to the beach once in a while and just do whatever I wanted to do for me. Mm-hmm. Because I felt like, oh, shoot, I done did all that. I ain't doing it. No, I'm done. I don't even like kids no more. Mm-hmm. But he had another plan for me. Who said you were done? I said I was done. He said, I didn't say you was done. You know, I want to be. I want to just cover my head, go hide and just do what I want to do, sleep 10 hours or go and do whatever it is I want to do. Mm-mm. Nope. Not like that. So I'm ready. I got to roll my sleeves up, flex my muscles, and try to stay in shape and just get to it. Because these kids got energy. Mm-hmm. So, and they keep you young. So that might be an incentive to want to go ahead and get on down in the trenches, because they do keep you young. They keep you laughing and, you know, they make you want to do some great things for them. Okay, so I just want to hear about what, you know, the great things that you guys are going to be doing for the kids. I just want to hear when we get started, whenever you get started, I want to hear all the good stuff that that we're going to be doing. Hey, who is that? 6695. Talk to me.
It's me, Kat. How are you?
Oh,
this
hey.
This out of the blue.
I'm just wonderful. I am wonderful. When I talk about the kids, it just it does something to me. So just,
you know,
thinking about,
you know, while mm-hmm. you were talking mm-hmm. about the youth, I don't have biological kids,
mm-hmm.
but I have nieces and nephews, and
right.
I have a suggestion for the youth as far as jobs are concerned. You know how some of our youth want to be healthcare workers and nurses
mm-hmm.
and doctors?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that the Lord brought to my attention is that if in order for our kids to be good healthcare workers, good nurses, good doctors, good insurance
mm-hmm.
agents, we have to get our kids into, we have to take our kids to visit hospitals, doctor's
mm-hmm.
offices, nursing facilities, nursing homes, vocational programs for the disabled,
mm-hmm.
so they can get a picture of what it will be like to be able to work in the healthcare field.
Mhm. Yeah.
Go ahead, Kat.
Mm-mm, go ahead. I done talked.
And we can't do it with a negative attitude.
Mhm.
We have to be positive about it. Because
right.
if the people that are working in the healthcare field have a negative attitude about their job,
mm-hmm.
then when they go home, that negative attitude is going to rub off on all the kids
mm-hmm.
about that field of work. So we have to look at working in the healthcare field as a positive impact in the world because due to the pandemic, our nurses are tired. But even though they're tired, they're still giving their lives, and they still have a positive attitude about their job. So, in order for our youth to be impactful healthcare workers, we have to take time to let our kids visit healthcare facilities so they can begin to get a picture of what it will be like to work in the healthcare field. Because if they don't have a clear picture of what it's going to be like, they're not going to be a great healthcare worker if they don't have a clear picture of what it will be like to work in the healthcare field.
Right. Yeah, they need to have a way that they can partner with people in the healthcare profession. And that's another good idea. So take them on a field trip. Take the kids on a field trip and take them and explain to them, you know, about what they're doing. And that, you know, and that'll work on their behaviors. You know, when you take them out, they need to know how to act when they go places. They need to know how to have good behavior when they go places. So if we don't take them and show them, you know, this is the way you carry yourself, or this is the way you have to act and behave when you're out in the public.
Because you never know, one day that your kids might be called to work with someone who is physically challenged. So they need to know what it's going to take to have to handle a physically challenged person.
Mhm. That's true.
And they have to know how to do it with a positive attitude. So if we don't teach our youth how to work with disabled people with a positive attitude, how else are they going to learn?
Right, we're really headed for destruction, because we are the teachers, and so who's coming behind us to teach the next ones? You know, so we are seeing a lot of that bad behavior and attitudes and them not knowing how to treat one another and treat people. So, yeah, that's a big deal right there. Mm-hmm.
One more thing, and then I will let someone else. I don't know if you saw the news a couple months ago, but there was a group of kids at a school on the news, and there was a young man who was autistic, and these other gentlemen were bullying the autistic guy, and somebody stood up and said, "This needs to stop." And when that person stood up and said, do not attack that autistic child, so many people came to his rescue because they knew that he was autistic and they knew that he couldn't verbalize.
Well, yeah, like I said earlier, there's a lot of things that's happening that just so out of order, you know, with the just not caring and, you know, just open murder and just so much ugliness going on. And so you just wonder, where are they learning this and who's teaching them and who are they watching?
Right.
Like, it's us. It's us watching. So, wow, we got a long ways to go, but, you know, we can't give up on them. We can't give up on the youth because, you know, if you just look down the road, what do we see? You know, what's going to become
right.
of them all? You know?
Right.
Yeah. So, and they're all our kids. Yeah.
Yes, they are, and they're all God's children.
All God's children, and He loves each and every one of us the same.
Yep.
So you have to have a good attitude. You know, that's why. I mean, I got whoopings when I was coming up. I mean, some good whoopings, and. These kids, they want whoopings. They want to be cared about. They want to know that you care about them and that you're concerned about them. And so when they don't get any discipline, they don't learn. You know, they don't learn. Yeah, and whoopings never killed me. It never, you know, I'm not in trouble. Haven't been
right.
in jail. Not planning on going to jail. So they help.
Right.
And they help. You hear Jonathan talk about it all the time, like he was just really. But look what he's doing, you know. Yeah, he's helping others that's in trouble.
Right.
You know, he's helping on this side instead of being on the other side, participating in being locked up in a cage. Yeah. So. Yeah, gotta get them sometime. Yeah, we got the outsiders running our homes, you know, from the outside.
Yep.
So, yeah. Well, thank you, Terrence. Always.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. So yeah, behavior is important. I can't think of it. I've been trying to think of the last 10 minutes. My brain is not. Oh, no. Yeah, so. All right, who else has something to say? We're going to, you know, it's open. Let's talk. Everybody is kind of speechless today. Don't nobody have anything that they want to talk about today, any ideals that what we could do for our youth to, you know, to help them. You got a business you want to shout out. You know, have some good ideals. You know, what you talk about in your church today. I don't know. All right. Hey. Love it. Pastor O, you ready to talk to us?
Yeah, I've been, let me turn that down. I've been listening to
cool.
the conversation, and, you know, it's an interesting topic that we, you know, we should make preparations for that. You know, as Christians, that's our job. It's not our job to just find ways out of our job. You know, we might want to say those are their kids. They need to raise them. That is not my problem. But
right.
as the slogan says, if we don't help them today, then, you know, we're going to be victims of not helping them another day. And everybody we see out committing crimes and doing everything, you know, sure enough, some parents did all they could do and it still went that way. But still the Lord says, train up a child in the way they should go. So that means we have an obligation to train up a child in the way they should go. It didn't say just your child. Train up a child. And so whatever way, without crossing any boundaries, whatever way we can assist in helping a child, like my wife, she has no children, but I can't tell you how many children she have helped and continue to help. Okay, even mother, I bring her up all the time, Phillip, she didn't have any children. Church was full of people calling her mama. So it's clear that we can, you know, we have an obligation, and we should feel compelled. We shouldn't just sit back and pray. Sometimes God have said, get up and do something, but we don't want to hear that, so we didn't hear that. So we just continue to pray, and then we put the onus on the Lord to do something. But when God got ready to bring his people out of Egypt, he sent Moses. He came and talked to Moses and said, I want you to go and deliver them. So, for instance, myself, I was discontented with what was going on in church because I had been raised by the Holy Spirit on the Bible. And when I got to church, it didn't reflect what I had been raised on. So I was confused about it, and I didn't know how to reconcile it to the Bible. So I left. Okay, but the last time I went back, the Lord told me, look, the same problems you keep running away from are going to be there. When you get there, I want you to teach against that as much as you can without getting kicked out. You know, because folk get mad when you read it in the Bible. When somebody came around telling the truth they wasn't ready to hear, they'll hand you over to the Romans, or do you like Stephen, they'll just stone you. So I had to work within those boundaries, knowing it was not going to be something that people want to do. But anyway, when we see a problem, the Lord wants us to do something about it. I always thought, well, he the pastor, that's his problem. But no, I was a teacher, a Sunday school teacher. He said, every generation you teach going forward, they won't act like that because you'll teach them from the Bible. Do you know I got in trouble? Because we had this way. That's why Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon today just really made my heart just almost bust open. She was going to come to me with a bunch of things she wanted to order for what she got going forward in the future for the youth. And she said, well, we already have a Bible. Why don't we just teach them lessons from that? And then handed me some paperwork, things she wanted laminated for things going forward. And I thought that was awesome. And I got in trouble for that because we had these Sunday school lesson plans, like you've been saying, that were created by somebody who's not even in our church. You know, when Paul wrote those letters to the churches, he wrote those letters to address particular problems they were having in that church. Even though all of us belong to Christ and a lot of those letters became circular, they just circulated them from one church to the other. But in the beginning, they were written to the church at Thessalonica because they had a problem with their folks who died, people coming in and mixing them up about that, they not understanding it. And so he wrote to them about that, and they said, oh, well, we might as well share this with the rest of the churches. Okay? But the point is, he wrote to that particular church about the problems in that particular church, and this is how you're supposed to be living for Christ in that church, which turns out to be the same way in every church, okay? But they were coming with these lessons that were over here in the Old Testament one week, and then you're in the New Testament. You never finished. It was never a full teaching. So we just started using the Bible. And we got in trouble for that because, you know, we were supposed to be using this material from this certain convention, and got in trouble for not using that. But the point is, when the Lord sent me back, he obligated me. I had to recognize that I have an obligation to do what I need to do to train up a child in the way it should go. Because I taught Sunday school from 1978 to 2002, and I heard a whole lot of the problems that the youth are facing. And I gave them real answers from the Bible. Some of the answers were suck it up. Some of the answers were you need to walk in this word so you can get the victory over that thing. And they were real with it. Okay, so they're, like you were saying, they want a whooping. What you were saying is they want discipline. They want direction. Mm-hmm. That's love. That is love. Because if you read, am I preaching a little bit? Anyway, over in Hebrews chapter 12, the Lord literally says over there, he disciplines those whom he loves.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells us how to take that discipline. Because God is doing this because you're his child, and he wants to turn you into who you're going to be forever. So if the Lord does that for us, shouldn't we in turn, like you be saying, look back behind us and not be afraid to say something like, I've heard you say to all out of pocket, and you say something to them. Some people say, you can get yourself killed. Well, you know, if that's the will of God, then I died trying to straighten somebody out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But most likely the Lord going to protect me because it's his will that I speak to this child to break them from this rebellious behavior. But we don't see that obligation. And if we don't feel obligated to, if we just want to die and go to heaven, that's really not a real good appetite for a Christian. No, we ought to feel burdened. We ought to, every day ought to be praying that every child on our street that we wish the Lord would destroy, like them boys who laughed at Elisha, his bald head, and the bear came out, tore him up. Well, God ain't working like that today. He wants to save, and that's all he wants to do. So every one of us have an obligation. Think about it like this.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, if anybody hurt one of these little ones, how hurting is it to a little one? And he's talking about anybody, whatever age, but in this case, we're talking about children. He said, if anybody hurts one of them or causes them to sin, is not helping, not mentioning, because you're afraid you're going to get cussed out by a little kid, is not mentioning, not helping, is that causing a little one to be hurt? Especially when you could have said something, but you didn't, and the next day they died. God knew that was going to happen, so it's really not your fault, okay? But we're human. How are you going to feel about that? We have real feelings, and you're going to feel some kind of way about that because you're going to go into grief. We grieve over everything that happens. And you're going to go into grief, and you're going to get to the third stage of grief, and you're going to wonder, if I had said something, could I have prevented that from happening? Now, only God knows if that would have changed anything. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that if you did say something, they would have accepted Christ and went to heaven. If they never accepted Christ when they died, God knew that. He knew that no matter how many people talked to him. But did God want you to be one of the people that talk to him? You know, I guess I can talk about it without crying. I worked for the Wayne County Drain Commission back in the 70s. And there was a friend, he was just a rebel. I mean, I was a rebel myself. I'm like a 3-4-year-old Christian at the time, so I was pretty much Reverend Rebel. So anyway, I was a witness from the very day Jesus called me. At the very moment he called me, the next moment I was on the corner witnessing to the people who I had sold drugs to. So anyway, I'm trying to reach this guy every which way, but he's shooting me down every time, like take the wings right off my plane. I just crash land, and everybody laughed at me. But I kept coming back at him and couldn't get him. But I had it planned out for this Monday. When Monday come, I'm going to get him. Only problem was he died that weekend. He had a head-on collision at 90 miles an hour on E-Course Road. So, you know, where it turns two lane. Back in the day, it was just two lanes.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a head-on collision and died. When I grieved about it, the reason I was able to get through without too much depression over it is because I had made every attempt I could. And that's what got me past the bargaining phase where you wonder, if I had done what Kathy told me and planned something for these youth this summer, what could I have possibly prevented? Could I have prevented somebody talking them into doing a drive-by? Could I have prevented somebody talking them into getting some fast cash, making a dash, but it didn't work out like that, and he ended up shot by the owner of the house? You know, that's when you get to, when you miss that opportunity, you're going to grieve about it, especially if you hear about it, and you're going to wonder, what could I have done different? Now, if you've done everything you can, then you're going to get through depression real quick, and you're going to get to acceptance. Because you did everything you can. But reverse that. You didn't do anything, but always said, you know, I should. I should say something, but you didn't. I should do something, but you didn't. Well, the worst thing is what motivates me is when you say, if we don't help them now, they gonna get hungry. They going to need clothes. They going to want some fresh dress, some gear. And you look like
cold.
The ticket to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You look like a heat bill paid, you know, and that means you're going to get jacked. But if you help them now, you know, it's like that story that we heard in school, this little animal, the mouse and the lion, right? The lion had a thorn in his paw, and the mouse helped him out. And then one day, the lion was, you know, hungry and looking for something to eat, something. The mouse got trapped into something. And when the lion saw the mouse, he remembered that he helped him out. So that's the way it can go for you. These young folks, if they show up getting ready to stick you up, they're going to say, oh, no, man, we can't get them. We can't get there because I know them. Give you an example. I treat the crackhead when we moved into this house. I know crackheads. I can spot them a mile away, and we have one house away from us. So I immediately started hiring him to do stuff. So I begin on my way to the drag strip one day. I'm in a hurry. I leave my shed wide open. All my tools are in there. Everything is wide open. I come back home, and I see him, and I'm sure he done stole all my stuff and sold it and finna tell me, somebody stole all my stuff. But you know what happened? Because I had been hiring him to do this and that and giving him, letting him earn change, he stayed there the whole time and watched my shed. Now, of course, he didn't stay there for nothing. He kind of wanted a little payoff for it. But you see, rather than robbing me, he watched out for me. He's a crackhead, and he told himself, no, we ain't gonna rip him off, but I'm sure he's going to give me something for watching this stuff. And I did.
Right.
And so if we do what you say, and if we reevaluate our mission here on earth before we go back to heaven, I think we'll find out that Jesus wants us to help these youth today. We can't just talk about them. We can't just talk. I used to be one of them. That's why I love this. I was one of them. And you know what makes me mad, really mad?
What? I'm with you.
Not many people tried to help me. They just talked about me. They just pointed at me. Church people didn't even try to mention Jesus. Jehovah's Witnesses did. But church people would just walk on the other side of the street. Wouldn't even try to approach me. We got to change. We got to stop being so holy that we can't help nobody. We just like, you know, when the van on the road to Jericho, the priest come by, he know if he go over there and touch this man is dead or got blood on him, then he can't go to church. So he ain't help. And then the Levite come by. Today, that would be the deacon. He go over and look and see the man is bloody. He can't help. But they both saw there was a need. But they were so holy, they couldn't help. And then here comes a man who is not holy. He's a Samaritan. He's one of those left-behinds that came into being during the time when they went into captivity, and they left some remnant there, and they mixed with everybody there, and they became the Samaritans, half-breeds. But he's not that holy. And he sees the man's need, and he goes over and helps. He's the hero of the story Jesus told, not the preacher, not the deacon, but the low life. The one we looked at as a half-breed loser, like the woman at the well who led a whole town to Jesus. And here we are, see youth around us perishing every day. And all we want to do is march around talking about Black Lives Matter. Really? Then why don't we try to stop Black lives from not mattering? Why don't we act like they matter and go out and talk to these young people? Make a plan. I love the title of this show. What is your plan for these youth this summer? I love what Running for Christ Ministries is setting up. I thank God that something's going to be happening there for our youth, our young people. I thank God for that. We ain't got to stretch in the field for nothing. And if we don't, you know, back in the day, they didn't have no social services. You know what a social service office was? The church. Nowadays, the church is so into building big churches and getting big membership that they ain't got enough money to help the people sitting in the church who gave it to them. And they're going, and the church folks filling up lines needing help. Early on in the early church, by Acts chapter 6, the only folks who were in need were the widows. There had no needy among them, and they told the reason why. Because the church was a social services organization. They took care of the people's needs with the money the people gave them. But nowadays, one person gets taken care of, the pastor. And then the programs that, you know, we give more money to the people who come sing at our church than we do to people sitting in the pews who give it to us. How crazy is that? I don't care if somebody give me. How crazy is that? And how can you be a member of a church that won't help you when you've been in need? Church is charging for funerals for people who've been members for years. Lord have mercy, that's a whole other conversation. How can we not reach out to our youth? How can we not? How can we see this? Jesus said, if you see your brother in need and have what they need, but don't give it to them, how can the love of God be in that person? That's what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3. How can the love of God be in that person? You see they need. You have all the Jesus and Holy Ghost power you need to meet their needs, but you don't. You just pray to Jesus for them and think God's satisfied with hearing you daily asking for these kids but not doing anything. That's not, you know. And, you know, every fourth Wednesday, we're out in front of the church with First Fruit Living Ministries, Minister Michelle Anderson. That's her ministry. And you've been there, Kathy. You've seen what people get help. All them kids that come up there, all them single moms come up there, all them men who come up there needing help.
That's right.
That's what you do. And everything is free. We don't even compel you to come to church Sunday. We just make that available to you. That's what church is. That's sitting in the pews hollering amen and giving some money and then going home and ignoring everything around you. That's not church. Jesus didn't do that. when they kicked Jesus out of the church, the synagogue, he went back out into the streets, into the highways and byways, and he'd had church if he had to sit on a rock or stand up in a boat and preach. That's what he did. You won't let me in your little stinking synagogue? I'll go out here and preach in a boat. You don't mess with me. Yeah. I'll preach on the side of a mountain.
Yeah, it's easy. It's easy to do. Just, you know, and it's, hey, I probably want to do it too. Just go to church, pay my tithes, and go home and go to bed. It's just so easy, but, you know, you can't do it.
No,
no, I don't like the easy way out. Yeah, but yeah, you know, I mean, we got to do something before we leave here. You know, this is God's world, and we just here, you know, to do the best that we can, and we have to do something for God before we leave here. We do. Yeah, that's some good stuff, Pastor. Oh, you're awesome, awesome, awesome.
Well, I just thank God, you know, for the passion, and, you know, I could tell when the Holy Spirit, like the old pastor used to say, I feel my help. I could feel my help. I could tell when he show up and start pushing, and evidently you got an audience you want to talk to, and give
it's
people
time.
The charge. It's time, because nobody going to do it but us. Ain't nobody going
to
do it but the church.
We have to help ourselves. It's time to help ourselves. It's time. We have to help ourselves, and nobody's coming. We have to help ourselves. And if we just want all our kids to be locked up like animals, then that's what it's going to be. But if we could help some, you know, we got to do it. Yeah.
You said if we want our children to be locked up like animals, then let's keep going the way we're going.
Yeah.
And that's right where they'll end up.
Yeah. It's pretty bad right now. But God could change it, and we could help change, you know, where we can. So I'm up for the challenge. I am. I'm up for the challenge. Nothing else to do. Ain't nothing else to do.
No, that's it. We all pandemic lockdown anyway.
Right. All we doing is working for what?
Exactly.
What?
Get
so
more bills.
What else is
that we need to pray
just,
about?
I don't need no more shoes. I don't need no more clothes. None of that. Need to throw some of this stuff away. It's like, what else? What else? My brother and we joke every morning. Well, we all on deck. You know. All of us on deck.
Right. Ready. It's almost checkout time.
Yeah, we on deck.
It's almost checkout time. You know, we up to bat.
We done.
Batter
yeah.
up.
We done, there you go. We done had our time. We done had our time. And we had a good childhood. And, you know, the ones behind us need to have a good childhood, too. So, yeah.
Back in the day when I was at the drag strip, we would leave, you know, they would say onto the mic through the PA system that calling round one for sportsman class all the way to the staging lanes. And then you get to the staging lanes and you sit there and wait and you keep on moving forward inch by inch. You keep moving forward until finally the man at the head of staging, he point at you and point at the person you racing, and he give you the thumbs up, and you up on deck. Now it's your turn.
We're on
and,
deck.
And that,
we on
and
deck.
Before I get there, just like when I at the drag strip, I used to start preparing right from the pits to the staging lane, in the staging lanes, until I got the call. So when I got to the line, I was ready to go. So now that we up there, are we really ready to face Jesus and say,
right,
I'm satisfied with what I've done for the Lord?
Mm-mm. Yeah, got to get prepared. That's right. We got to prepare the next generation. We were kids a long time. That's what I said. If we don't ever
right.
get
we
old.
Got to we got to stay kids till we were 17.
A long time. I thought we'd never get grown. So yeah, now we deck, and it's good. So now we got to, you know, reach back. It's their turn. If they could just get in the, you know, realize that it's the next generation's turn, you know, these new moms, it's their turn. When you decide to have, you know, your child, it's their turn. It's their turn. Yes, so that's it. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, it's been a wonderful day. It's a beautiful day. The sun was shining on both sides of the street, on you and on me. And it's just, it's been a good day today. Glad to be back. Glad for that break that we had. And just ready to say move this train forward. I'm excited to start to do some things with the youth. And we're going to help who we can help. That's all. We're going to help them. And whoever we come in contact with, we're going to help them. We're going to show them the best part of us, the best part. And that's what they need to see. So I'm looking forward to that. Let me see. I just want to say congratulations again to Shania graduating from Michigan State University. And, you know, just her life is going to be blessed. Just thank God for her. And, you know, just pray for my family. My cousin was called home this morning, Joseph Joey Clyburn. And that's my last uncle, one of his sons. And he was on deck, and my brother said he gone to the upper room. And so, yeah. So pray for my family with that going on. And, hey, that's it. Just tell somebody about bring back the family. Know that that's what you want to happen, that the families come back and they're operating in the way that God wants them to operate in. And if you really, really care, just send out a text and let somebody know about bring back the family and what we're trying to do, okay? You know, we don't help our youth now, we'll be victims of not helping later. So that's it. Pastor, you good? Mind's clear? You got anything else you want to shout out?
I am good again. I am good. I'm just thankful to God for the opportunity to be involved with bringing back the family, you know, so that I can, you know, be involved in helping youth. I've always, since God sent me to the church, that was my thing. I was always a youth. I taught the ages first 7 and 8 year olds, and then he had me to sit under another teacher named Dr. Houston and Shirley Goldston. Mm-hmm. And after that, when I moved to First Baptist Church, Pastor Brown put me under Deacon Love. His name was Deacon Love, and he became my teacher. And I was his assistant. And then after he passed away, I actually got to class. And from 78 to 2002, I taught 15 to 18-year-olds. And during the Vacation Bible School, when my wife wasn't working when her and Sharon Abraham wasn't working in VBS together doing registration, I had Lisa's daughter, Chardonnay. She was my assistant in VBS. And I taught there. Ooh, boy, that was something. We had 18 kids one year in our class, and I think those were 7 and 8 year olds. And Lord have mercy, I forgot what they were like from the 70s. Years. But anyway, I just thank God for the opportunity to be involved with youth again, you know, because I learned something about them. They're scared, especially when they get to 15. We don't notice it, but when they get to 15 to 16 and on, they're kind of crazy. That is the fear of adulthood, because how I get their attention in Sunday school, I used to tell them that these parents who are telling you to come in the house, they're going to ask you when you get out and get in your own house. The things are going to change.
Right.
They're going to change big time. And they're going to constantly be asking you these things. So they're scared, and they want our guidance, and they want our help. And they want to be allowed to live out the teaching we give them. Okay, if we teach them something, you know, if we teach them something, trust them to live that out. Mm-hmm. Don't try to baby them past being babies. Let them live mm-hmm. it out and see if they took to the teaching. Trust your teaching.
Right. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. It's just awesome, awesome. Thank
you're
you
welcome.
So much for all your good wisdom and just speaking the truth. Yes. All right. Listen, we could all do something. And, you know, the children are our future. So we're going to end with that, and we will see you next week. Tell somebody about Bring Back the Family if you want to see a change in our youth and our communities. Tell somebody about it so they can all get on board so everybody can do something. All right. Love you guys.
Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride. Make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for heroes. People need someone to look up. Never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me.
Oh,
beautiful.